is the time, so people don't yell at me. But as long as they're fine, I'm fine. Amen. It's like people, some people say, oh, it's so long. I'm like, well, I didn't even get preaching yet, you know. That's Anton's fault, and I'm like, yeah. Let's get our Bibles out. I just want to show you something, and it's of the Lord, so it's good. Amen. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the heaven above, from the Lord. And the Word of God is pure, and it's perfect. It's good. Amen. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want to breathe in his breath. I want to take in his word. I want to eat it. I want to digest it. I want to live on it. I want it to live in me. It's alive. The word of God is amazing. Amen. Imagine having Jesus around for 3 years or so and just get to follow him around and listen to every word he says. Isn't it great to think of that? We're here in chapter 7 of Mark. I didn't tell you, did I? Mark 7, this little something that the Lord was speaking to me about this morning, and I just want to share it with you tonight. It'll only take a few minutes, but hopefully you can get something, and let me know when you're in Mark 7 so I can start reading. Are you in Mark 7? Let me hear you say amen. Amen. All right, starting in verse 1, it says, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem." It tells you, because it said came from Jerusalem, scribes and Pharisees, that these are very important men in the so-called the religion of the Jews. These were very learned men. These were important men, men that make the laws and keep the laws. So I'll just let you know, they're not just your run-of-the-mill people. It says in verse 2, "And when they saw some of his," meaning Jesus, "some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," now think of it, "with defiled," it says, that is to say, with unwashed hands, "they found fault." I want you to think about this, and I'm going to be brief as I possibly can. They found fault. Don't you laugh at me, young lady. It's not Sunday morning, it's Wednesday night. I can be an hour. No, I'm kidding. "They found fault. Do not find fault in me." That's what the message is about. They found fault in Jesus. They found fault in his disciples. They found fault in the apostles. They came from Jerusalem to supposedly hear Jesus, to come to church, let's say, to come on a Wednesday night service, and they found fault. It's easy to find fault if you're looking for it. And I was thinking as I was praying, and things go through my head, and I'm going to share it with you. Don't find fault in me, because I'm just as bad as the rest of you, amen. But thoughts come in my head, and I'm the pastor, so I'm thinking, okay, I hope it doesn't go too long. I hope, that I can get through the message. And all these just thoughts. And the Lord said, "You're finding fault." And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. And it's so easy to find fault in everything, in anything. You come to church, and you find fault. You come to church and somebody's not dressed right, or somebody smells wrong, or somebody says something, or the piano is too awesome. You know, you find fault. You know, the pastor's too loud. Whatever it is, you can find fault in anything. Amen? And that's what they did. They found fault. And I want you to think about that, is because what happened is they were in the presence of Jesus Christ. They were in the presence of the Son of the living God, in his teaching, in his presence, just being with him. And they found fault. And because they found fault, they were not able, because they were finding fault in whatever it is that situation is, they could not receive the blessings of the Lord being with them. And whenever you are going to start thinking in your head about fault with someone else's fault, remember, when you're finding fault, you're being like the Pharisees and the scribes here, that they're in the presence of God himself in the flesh, and they're finding fault. And you can go to any church and find fault. You can go to anybody's home and find fault. You can go to anybody's business and find fault. I can't find any fault in that music playing. I'll tell you that much right there. I mean, you can find fault in everything. Isn't it true? Help me. I think we need to learn something here tonight, and just watch it, because you're going to miss the blessings that God has for you. You're going to miss the presence of God because you're finding fault. And you're going to find fault. And what happens when you're finding fault is that's the pride and the arrogancy rising up in you, that you are able to see everyone else's fault. And what does the Bible say? But you can't see your own. You have plenty of faults. Amen? Amen. We all do. And that's why, thank God, that God has no fault. He has no fault. He has zero fault. In him is light and there is no darkness at all. And we are so faulty, yet he loves and cares and takes care of us. And he tells us in his commandments that we should love and care of one another. But yet what stops us and what hinders us is the same thing that's hindering them. Let's continue to read. It says, for with the Pharisees, it says, and they found fault, verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, that means often, they eat not. Holding their traditions of the elders, except they can wash their hands, they won't even eat. So if I come up to you and give you some M&Ms, you're like, sorry, can't eat it. Or, I have some nice good beef jerky for you. You say, sorry, can't eat it. Or someone gives you an ice cream cone from, sorry, can't eat it. You know, like they're so strict on they won't even eat unless they wash their hands, which is just a tradition that they kept. Look what happens. It says in verse 4, and when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, which they have received to hold. So many teachings and many things that is just traditions. They're not even biblical. They're not even in scripture or taught by God. But yet because they have added to things, because they have made Christ religion instead of relationship. Because they made things more difficult than they ought to be. And isn't that what life is? It's more difficult than it ought to be. Why is life so difficult? I think one reason is because we find fault all the time. And I just want to say right now, watch yourself. Because you're going to find fault in me. That's a fact. I'm very faulty. And you're going to find fault in your spouse. And you're going to find fault in your children. You're going to find fault in your boss. You're going to find fault in the government. You're going to find fault everywhere. But what you're doing when you're finding fault is you are ruining your blessing from getting something from God. Look what happens here in verse 5. It says, then the Pharisees and the scribes asked them, saying, why walk not the disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Now, think about this. They're in the presence of God, and it's bothering them. They're finding fault. They're seeing something as small and as insignificant as they're out together wherever they are at the time, and they're eating. They're eating a piece of bread. And these Pharisees, these people, find fault in that. And because they find fault in that, they won't even listen to what Jesus has got to teach them. And so they come to Jesus and they say, why, how come your disciples eat with one unwashed hands when they know that we don't do that? And it says in verse 6, and he answered and said unto them, well, has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Everything in this book, in this Bible, everything's about your heart. Everything, Mary, it's about your heart. Mary, I care about you. I love you. God loves you so much. He cares about our hearts. He wants to give us so much. There's so much to learn. There's so much just to be in the presence of God. Amen. I needed to hear the music. I needed to hear the song. Just like Saul, the King Saul, when he was attacked by an evil spirit, when David played the harp, it ran away. Amen. And music's a beautiful, beautiful medium to just get the peace of God in you. And the thing is to be in the presence of God and find fault. That's pretty sad. It's really bad. And it says here, but it's all with the heart. And that's what God's trying to show us, is something's wrong with our heart. Look what it says. Howbeit in vain, verse 7, they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching for doctrines. I just want you to notice what it says. Howbeit in vain they do what? Worship me. You know what? I underlined that and I wrote in my Bible, obedience. Obedience is a form of worship. We think raising our hands and doing this is worship. Worship is when they fell down at the feet. Worship is when they obeyed. You want to worship God in spirit and in truth. And in truth is you can't say, I call him Lord, Lord, but yet do not those things that he asks. We cannot say he is God and yet not worship and follow him. We cannot say that he is my master, my Lord, my Savior, my King, my God, right, Joe? And not do what he commands us to do. And look what he says here. He says, verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God. This is what he says. You're laying aside the commandments of God. You hold the traditions of men as washing of pots and cups and many other such things like you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own traditions. I want you to be very weary of that for us. You reject the commandments of God so that you can feel better about the things that you like to do. Not in sin, I'm talking about religious acts. You reject the commandments of God and you judge others. You reject the commandments of God and you look down on others. You reject the commandments of God and you might be saying, what are you talking about? They knew what they didn't know either. Let's look what he's talking about. He says in verse 10, for Moses, talking about the commandments, said, honor thy father and thy mother. And look at this. And whoso curses father or mother, I want you to read this out loud with me. Let him die. That's some serious stuff right there. See, this is when we just had Mother's Day last week. And honor thy father and thy mother is the fifth commandment. It's a very important and powerful commandment in the eyes of God. God took it so seriously that he said, if any child, anybody curses their mom and dad, let them die the death. Woo! You see how serious that is? Can I get an amen? Amen. But yet we don't do that. Amen. We don't do that. We don't keep that. They didn't keep that. And they cared more about somebody eating with, they didn't wash their hands. That cared more about something minuscule, something unimportant, that was more important to them in their heart than keeping God's commandment. And we need to learn from this lesson. And look what it says here. It says in verse 11, but you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught. That means anything for his father and his mother. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which comes out of him, those are they which defile the man. What came out of these people at first? What came out of these religious people? They found fault. In their hearts, they were looking down on other people because they weren't doing it the way they think they should do it. Or they were thinking that their way is, their traditions are more important than anything else. And I'll tell you right now, it really bothers me when I think about all the churches that are out there, Catholic Church, of course, the biggest one, Presbyterian Church, Methodist Church, Episcopal Church, Baptist Church, Lutheran Church, they all have their traditions of things that they do. Catholic Church, you come in, you're supposed to do that, and kneel, get the water, and all these traditions. And then you come into a church maybe like ours, and people don't do that. And they don't do this, and they don't do that. You know what I'm saying? And what is the commandment of God? That we're supposed to love one another. Amen. We're supposed to honor one another, more importantly. But I digress. You're right. I'm getting too long on this. Thank you very much for that, for me thinking about what you said. But look what it says. It says, if any man in verse 16 have ears to hear, let him hear. And he says, and when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enters into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it enters not into his heart, but into his belly, and goes into the draught, purging all meats. See, what he's saying is, just what you eat or do something that they're talking about, that doesn't defile you, because what defiles you comes out of your heart. And what came out of their heart was the first thing they did when they came to see Jesus. They found fault and they went and they said, why are they doing it like this? How come they do that? Why is this person doing this? What? And that was coming out of them, because that's what was in them. Judgmental and looking at things. Just, I'll tell you, if you want to find fault, it's everywhere. There's a rip on the seat. There's dirt in the corner. There's a flower over there, fell over. I can go on. I mean, you can just find fault everywhere. You know what that's going to do? It's going to ruin anything that you get from God. It's going to ruin anything good. You know, someone could have came in and said, oh, that guy, you know, he's playing piano. He doesn't have a suit on. I know churches like that. They won't let anyone play piano. I know my old pastor wouldn't let anyone play piano if he doesn't know them. I don't really know EJ. All I know is God sent him. And all I know is we prayed for a piano player, and all of a sudden EJ says, oh, I can play. And I'm supposed to go, nope, you can't do that. I didn't talk to you. I don't know your background. You know what I mean? It's like, and we'll look at all these other things, and we'll say, oh, he can't do that. Because I know all the other churches that I went to were like that. They wouldn't just let somebody come up. They wouldn't let somebody come. My pastor wouldn't even let me preach. He wouldn't let anybody get behind this pulpit. I want everyone just about to get behind this pulpit. Because that's my job, is to get you to a higher plane and a bigger place. And Jesus' job was to spread the word of God, the teachings of God, to the people. And what they did is they found fault because somebody wasn't eating with washed hands. You see how stupid? Look what he says, and we'll finish up. It says in verse 19, because it enters not into the heart, but into the belly, and goes out of the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which comes out of man, that defiles a man. So think about what comes out of your thoughts. Think about what you think about how you find fault. Because you're going to find fault. Oh, there's plenty of fault to find. Plenty. But I don't know about you, but my Lord says love one another. Prefer one another over yourself. Care more about what they care about. Care more about them than what you care about. And look what he says. He says, verse 21, from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds what?
Thoughts.
Whoa. First thing out of his mouth. Because they're all thinking, well, I didn't do anything wrong. God knows every thought you have. And that the thoughts is what ruins us. That's what ruins us. And anyway, keep going. Adulteries, fornications, murders. See, when he speaks these, he says thoughts, then he immediately says adulteries, fornications, and murders. Do you remember when he was speaking, he said, it is written, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you've ever looked on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed it. See, then he says, in your thoughts, he says, it is written, thou shalt not kill. But I say, if you ever had hatred in your heart toward your brother, you've already murdered him. You see, that's what he's talking about in your heart. He's not talking about acts outside actions. Because everything that happens, happens in here. By the time it acts out, you've had those thoughts for a long time. And when you start finding fault with God, when you start finding fault with the church, you start finding fault with the brothers and sisters, that's how the devil gets you. Because I'll tell you what, it's like going to a forest and saying, where's the tree? And they're everywhere, because that's what faults are. They're everywhere. We are faulted people. We're all sinners. We're all just trying to do better. We're trying to be holy. And guess what? We're going to fall, and we're going to falter, and so are you. And he goes on and says, look what he says, verse 22, thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from where? Within, and they defile a man. I can learn a lot from this little, tiny little message about finding fault. And you have to examine yourself, because I don't know your thoughts. All I know is that God does, and he says you're going to ruin the good things that God has for you. We can all find faults, man. I mean, we can find faults all over the place. Amen. It says in Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn now, I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy 12:32 says this, whatsoever thing I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add to it or diminish from it. And what they do is they get a thing from God and they go overboard with it. You know, and I thought of this, like I want to dress right and for church. But it's not a commandment of God. You can dress any way you want. I'm going to dress the way I want, and you dress the way you want, and we don't judge one another, amen? And because if I felt comfortable not getting dressed up, I might do it. But I don't feel comfortable doing that. And when I'm coming to God, it's my job. I take it seriously, you know what I mean? It's like there's doctors, lawyers, detectives, you name it, that get dressed up when they go to their job, amen? And when I come in to do the work of God, I want to be at least dress some. But that's certainly not a commandment. That's a tradition of men. There's, and I can go on and on. There's many of them. Amen. But we need to not make sure we don't find fault in God and find fault in the church and find fault with God's men and women and God's plans. Because Jesus, the way Jesus did things came against the way they were used to doing them. Because God said, it's not the letter of the law, it's the spirit of the law. Amen. So that's all I wanted to give you tonight. But he says, you full well reject the commandments of God. And I'll finish with this, that you may keep your own traditions. So I just want you to think about the commandments that you're rejecting before you start to look down or find fault on something else. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for your amazing grace, your mercies, which are new every morning and are endless. We thank you so much for Jesus that came to this earth to suffer, to bleed, and to die a horrible death to pay the penalty, to pay our debt. And because of him, Lord God, we have peace with you. And through it is only through his blood that our sins are forgiven. We confess our sins and we ask you to forgive us of our pride, our evil thoughts. Forgive us for finding fault in everything and everyone. I've never met a person that was happy that found fault. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would help us tonight. I thank you for EJ being here, Lord. And I thank you for those who came tonight. I thank you for helping me tonight. And I just ask you, Lord, strengthen us. Give us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, and convict us and give us strength to reject and fight that devil and keep the devils away. Please, Lord, I pray, sanctify your church, bless it, strengthen it, use us, Lord, to be a blessing to others. Help us to keep the greatest commandment, to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and to love one another as ourselves. That is what commandment I'm going to try to keep more than anything else. And Father, when we find fault, forgive us, convict us, and help us to repent of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.